John Walden here. Psalm 144, which is getting pretty close to the end of the Psalms, you know, there are 150 altogether, is in a section of Psalms of Praise. The Psalm book, the hymn book of Israel, ends with these happy Psalms, Psalms that are filled with praise to God. There have been many sad ones. We've noticed a few of them. And as you read through the Psalms, you'll find that there are many difficulties and trials that the psalmist has passed through. But now as we come to the end of the Psalms, and we may think of this as coming toward the end of our journey, we know more and more about the happiness of trusting the Lord and leaving it with Him. And so Psalm 144 begins, "Blessed be the Lord. I want to give praise and thanks to Him." Why? Well, He gives us a number of possessives here. Notice them in the first two verses. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me." Now, David could say this because David knew the Lord in a personal way. In his wonderful 23rd Psalm, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's one thing to know the Lord historically. It's one thing to know that He is a great God and even a Savior God, to know that He does wonderful things for people. But it's so much more wonderful whenever you're able to say, "He is my Savior." That's the word deliverer here in verse 2. He is my deliverer. He's yours only if you accept Him. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, John 1 and 12 tells us. When did you receive Christ as your Savior? When did He become your very own? Now, in verses 3 and 4, He introduces mankind and his unworthiness, his low estate. He says, "Lord, what is man that Thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that Thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity, that is, emptiness. His days are as a shadow that passeth away." We talk about living a long time, but the longest life ever lived on this earth is almost nothing compared to eternity, and most of us can hardly expect to go beyond the allotted 70. So life is not very long. What is man that God takes note of him? Now here in Psalm 144, he's talking about natural man. But this verse is quoted in the second chapter of Hebrews in verse 6, and there it's applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he the Son of Man? Yes, he became the Son of Man in order that you and I, the sons of men, might become the sons of God. The Lord Jesus always was the eternal Son of God, but he became the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus, in his humility, took that place, the lowly place. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, John 3:14 tells us. So the Lord Jesus Christ became a lowly man to take our place, to die for us at Calvary. How wonderful that the Lord wanted us enough to come down here to get us. Now, if your life, you realize, is only as a shadow, why not accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and know eternal life, have the prospects of endless life with Himself, the possession of eternal life here and now, for this is God's kind of life within us. But the enjoyment of that life will last forever. Now, having mentioned God's kindness to man who is so unworthy, he then turns in verses 5 to 8 to the subject of the judgment of God on the wicked. Now, this is the order you'll find always in Scripture. First, he offers mercy, and then to those who reject his mercy, He sends judgment. And so he tells of the judgment of God, how that God will bow the heavens and come down. He will send forth his hand from above, and to deliver me out of great waters, and then to judge those who are sinners against the Lord. And one of these days the Lord Jesus is coming back to take home all those who are his own, and then he will bring judgment upon this earth. Now this brings forth a song of praise, and so in verses 9 and 10, the psalmist breaks out in a song of praise. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation, delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. The word deliver and save we've already noticed twice, now twice more in these two verses, and then again in verse 11, rid me and deliver me. So this is a psalm of deliverance, a psalm of salvation. No wonder he's thankful. No wonder he offers to sing and praise him upon an instrument of 10 strings. Someone has likened our faculties, our body and our makeup as being an instrument of 10 strings, and certainly all that we are ought to be used in bringing praise and glory to the Lord. Now in verses 11 to 14, we have a prayer. It begins with a prayer that he might be delivered from evil, from enemies, from things that are against him. And this prayer is really in 7 parts, and each one of these parts begins with the word that. Beginning with verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, and so on. Now, these prayers for God's blessing, of course, are earthly. Israelitish prayers. He's talking here about temporal, earthly blessings. Literally, he wants his sons and daughters to be what they ought to be, and he wants God's blessing upon their material store, that they will have garners that are filled with grain, that sheep and oxen will be plentiful, and so on. Remember that in the New Testament, God does not necessarily bless his people with temporal things. Many Christians have been stumbled by this. They've said, well, if I'm pleasing God, why am I not rich? Well, God has not promised earthly riches in this present age. He has told us plainly in Ephesians 1 that he has blessed us, Christians, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. You and I are given everything that is good, but in the spiritual realm. We are not promised that we will be well provided for here on this earth. If God gives you something here on this earth, that's a bonus. Remember, it is not yours, but you should use it for him. But you can apply these things to ourselves. Now, for instance, the prayer for growth and development of the young people. And what could we ask more for our young people than that they should become Christ-like, that they should be well-developed, that they should be polished in accordance with a palace that is fitting for heaven itself. And what more could we ask that God would give us an abundance of spiritual blessings, that he would lead us into all our riches that we have in Christ? Let's not be materialistically minded now. Let's not think about just whether we have good food and nice homes and all of this. But how wonderful that God has given us such great blessings, that he has forgiven us our sins, that he has made us the children of God, that he has led us into an enjoyment of spiritual things. Let's revel in these things, and let's ask for them. Go to him and ask him to give us more and more. Not simply that our oxen will be strong to labor, but that we as Christians will be strong to labor. And then he finishes this list by saying that there be no complaining in our streets. Now, murmuring is a sin. God dealt with it as sin in the lives of his earthly people Israel, and if we as Christians are complaining and murmuring against God, we are out of touch with him. There should be no complaining, and there will be no complaining if we dwell on the goodness and kindness of God and realize how very much he has done for us. Now the 15th verse, the closing verse, is a climax to all this. He uses the word happy twice. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The word for Lord is the word Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, the Savior God. There were many people who had gods of various kinds in the Old Testament, cruel gods, idolatrous gods, gods that led them into lascivious ways. But happy is that people whose God is the Lord. The Lord is our Savior God. Is he yours? Well, then, you ought to be a happy Christian. But you see, circumstances are not right. But he doesn't tell you to rejoice in circumstances always. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You can be glad in the Lord. You can be glad in his salvation. You can be glad about the future. And you can be glad, that he hears your voice and that you can come to him in prayer and that if he... see fit to give you everything that you want, that he is a God who knows what is best, and if he's withholding something, this too is a blessing. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Is he yours? When did you receive him? When did you really trust Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, wouldn't you like to do so just now as we pray? And if you are a Christian, won't you join me in thanksgiving for a God who has made us a happy people and with a happy future. Father, we thank thee for thy loving kindness to us. We thank thee for thy Son, our Savior. We thank thee that we are a happy people, our sins put away, and our future all secure. Bless thy word to those who have heard it, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen.